Hello, friends. I'm Brian Peart, and I want to welcome you to the Great Awareness Podcast, a podcast focused on helping Christians make sense of this world we are in. The goal is to encourage, but never at the expense of truth. We will take the truth found in Scripture and apply it to the real spiritual battles going on today. We will ignore preconceived beliefs, news media noise, and politicians' words, and look at actions, what is really going on. Then use the truth of Scripture to accurately discern the times and how we need to respond. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And that is what we are going to attempt to do with each podcast. Get to the truth so we can live as we've been called. Hello, friends. Today we're going to talk about the secret to thriving for Christians. I really think that this message is something that can really have an impact on your life. A little backdrop, about a year ago, it was when I came across this passage of Scripture in John 14 and 15, and it really stood out at me. Three words that I think once you embrace them are really going to be powerful. And I began to realize that this is a key to living really the way Jesus wants us to be living. And so ever since then, I've been trying to perfect this in my life. And I can say that over the last year, I've grown tremendously. Back then, probably 10, 15% of my day, I was living in love, joy, peace. The rest of it was a driving or a striving to try to be better. And today, probably I'm up to about 85% of the time I'm living in love, joy, peace. And that's a dramatic change in just the quality of my life and the abiding of Christ inside of me. So I want to share what I've been doing over the last year and what I've learned so that you can get there faster than what it's taken me. So let's dive in. I'm going to John 14, verse 20. And these are Jesus's words. The red letter, if you have a red letter Bible, this is all Jesus right here. "At that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you." That the word that explains that is abide, okay? Going on, he says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." So he's saying, if you'll obey, you'll love me, okay? Obey, that's the second word. If you're writing them down on a page, write abide, then underneath it, write obey. And then going on, it says, "And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." So I love that word, manifest. And again, the word there is love. "He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Continuing on, down in verse 23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." You see that? If anyone keeps my word, if he obeys, we'll abide with him. "He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Going on to chapter 15, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you." There's that word again, abide. "Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. And he who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you, as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear much fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that wherever you ask the Father in my name, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." So as you go through there's three big words that come out: abide, obey, and love. And I'm going to break each one of them down, share with you the things that I've been doing to try to get more like that. And then hopefully that'll, and give you some tips, some things that I've been doing. And hopefully that'll really help you live a much more fruitful life. Because he says here, we will bear much fruit if we abide and obey and love. And so abiding, the key to abiding is time, all right? It's not praying better, serving more, preaching better. Those are all us striving to try to win approval of the Father, or, you know, for pride or for whatever reasons. Those aren't abiding, okay? Abiding is centering on Jesus. And believe it or not, it's our only job as Christians to center on Jesus. Let me repeat that. Our only job as Christians is to center our life on Jesus, okay? Share my story. Back when I was young, I wasn't really approved by my Father. So I spent much of my 20s trying to be successful, become a millionaire by 30, get the girl, etc. And I was always trying to prove myself. Once I got saved at 30, all that happened was a shift from striving to prove to somebody else to now striving to be the most Christian guy I could be. So I was, having to serve and be the leader of the men's ministry. I had to be the best at work. I had to be the best at whatever. All of this was striving to try to get God's approval on my life, to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And on the surface, it sounds like that's what we're supposed to be doing. It's very easy to get into that trap. It's only been the last few years that I began to realize that God adores me, that striving is not the key to thriving. That's us trying to do what we think is right, not allowing Jesus to flow through us and then do what Jesus tells us to do, because Jesus knows where we should be. God knows where we should be, what we should be doing, how we should be acting. And so he'll take us there, but we have to focus on him. I came to find out that God adores me. He loves me, and he loves you. He loves us just as we are. He loves us with all our flaws. He loves us with no matter what we do. We can't do things good enough to get him to love us more, and we can't do things bad enough to get him to love us less. He just loves us. Just like you, if you're a parent, love your kids, regardless of what they do. You may not like some of their choices, but the love never ends. God loves us, okay? And it's a perfect love. So he adores us. But the problem is, as Christians, we tend to not believe it. We don't dwell in that love. We keep striving to do more. And so it does take some time to change and to master this. And I'm going to share some things that I'm doing to get better at trying to center on Jesus. Because as I've been growing over this last year, as I've been realizing that this love is unblemished, it's unbelievable, it's unrelenting, I've begun to get to a place where we're vibing with the Lord, you're abiding, you're obeying, you're loving, and it's all natural, and it's flowing, and there's no more anxiety, stress, worry. And so abiding starts in the morning. You can't abide with Christ all day if you skip the morning, obviously. If you skip the morning, you can't nail the day. And so people will say, "Well, I don't have time in the morning to do a little quiet time." I'm telling you, you gotta do it. Start with 15 minutes, but you gotta do it. You'll say, "Well, I listen to Christian music on my drive to work." Let me ask you something. If you had a meeting with the president of your company, would you schedule that meeting while driving in a car, or are you gonna schedule it at some place where you're sitting down one-on-one with that person? You want to spend time undistracted, focusing on the Lord. Even if it starts with just 15 minutes, you have to do it. Back when I was first got saved and my mentor shared with me that I needed to do a quiet time, I was waking up at 6 and I was going to bed at 11 and waking up at 6. But once I had kids, I started realizing those kids are up by 6 and I couldn't have any quiet time. So I had to wake up an hour earlier at 5. And so what I did was I went to bed an hour earlier. So I began to go to bed at 10 and wake up at 5 so that I could get that hour with the Lord. After a while, that time in the morning became so much fun, so much joy for me, that I wanted it to be longer. And so I started waking up at 4. And for the last 20 years, man, going to bed at 10 and waking up at 4 has been my my pattern and my habit. And now I don't even have kids, but I still continue to do it because it's just my habit now. But you have to make time for Jesus, and you have to do it early in the day. That's where it starts. You don't want to keep it just there. You don't want to just spend some time in the morning and then forget about them the rest of the day. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. And it's not legalistic. You don't have to do certain things each day. You don't have to read, you know, your way through the Bible in a year, though you can. You don't have to. Some days I'll be sitting out on my deck and just enjoying the lake and just enjoying that. And that becomes my quiet time. Some days I read a passage and just focus on that. Some days I read passages of scripture. So don't be legalistic about it, but you've got to get that time alone. Now, the key to that time alone is a calm centering, a quieting down. You want to embrace the Lord and be thankful, okay? You want to breathe in, breathe out, okay? Breath is life. It says in Genesis that God breathed into the nostrils and gave us life. The word Yahweh, spoken properly by the Jewish people, when they speak it, it literally is breath. Yahweh. It's literally breath. So breath is life. And so breathing in, centering yourself, breathing in deep. I when I do it, I breathe in and I imagine Christ is filling in. And then when I breathe out, I'm breathing myself out, okay? Trying to get more into where I'm feeling Christ, even in my cells and my bones. You can take a verse and meditate on it. Psalm 46:10, you know, be still and know that I'm a God is a great one. Get to that calm, thankful place, okay? Do that and then move into prayer, which is where you'll obey, and we'll discuss that in a minute. Now, you don't want to just abide for 30 minutes in the morning. You want to take it into the day, okay? The goal should be to live in love, joy, peace all the day. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace. We should be living in that most of the day. And when we get out of it, analyze it. Jot down why we got out of it, and then go back later. Whether you journal in the morning, which I think is really good, God reveals a lot of times to me why I did this thing, okay? So you're vibing in the morning, you've got this great centering, and then you start driving to work, and someone cuts you off, and all of a sudden you get all upset, okay? Jot down why you got upset. Like, why did that person's bad driving cause your whole day to go awry, okay? There's a reason that shouldn't get you out of love, joy, peace, okay? There's some reason. There's some anger. There's some pride. There's some, for me, a lot of times it's pride. But you just jot those things down, and then you begin to just work on getting better, allowing Jesus to flow through you more, so that when they cut him off, it's more like, bless you, brother, and you're just moving on, and you're not allowing things to get out of love, joy, peace. The opposite of love, joy, peace is anxiety, anxiousness, fear, worry. Those things are where most people spend their days. Jesus talks about joy, about this easy yoke living. And this is it, living in love, joy, peace. So you want to go into your day and just stay breathing, stay calm, and stay focused as you go into your day. I also, right before I head into my day, I've got some things written down on I say it's a piece of paper, but it's not. It's like a notebook. And I always just read them right before I go out the door to just kind of remind myself of this abiding, obeying, and loving kind of thing. And so I'm going to share those couple things that I've got written down here. You know, it's whatever works for you to keep you in love, joy, peace, to keep you peaceful, to keep you centered, okay, is what you need to be doing, all right? These are some tips that I'm sharing that have helped me. This starts with, I write a mission statement, okay? About a year ago, I changed my mission statement. It's no longer some grandiose thing, but what I'm trying to do is harder than anything I've ever tried to do, and it's abide, obey, and love. So my mission is to fully abide in Christ, obeying his commands, and loving on others with my unique gifts. Now, we're all given gifts by the Holy Spirit. Once you get saved, you're given a gift. And I talk about this in my 5 Pillars of a Great Life, the last pillar, which is good works. I break down all the different gifts that are mentioned in the New Testament that are gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I do a snippet on each one, what they mean, so that you can kind of get a feel for what gifts you've been given by the Lord. For me, it's teaching, it's giving, and maybe a minor gift of leading, but really teaching and giving. And so I fully abide in Christ, obeying his commands, loving on others with my unique gifts, that I may manifest the joy of the Lord to a hurting generation. And so that's my mission now. And so every day I remind myself of that as I go into my day. Then I've got written down underneath it, abide, and I write, cease striving. One of the hardest pieces for me to stop was this drive to be the greatest, to be the best at everything I did. It was just a driven thing, and there's no peace in that, okay? And so I've just ceased that. But I jot it down here to remind myself, because I can still get tripped up. Then I wrote obey, and it's get his direction daily. And we're going to talk about this in a minute, what this means, obey, because you'll like it. It's not what you're thinking. And then love others, okay? And for me, loving others is pointing them to Jesus. Not me, pointing them to Jesus, okay? Then for me, when I get out of love, joy, peace, and I analyze and break it down, almost always it comes to pride. It's some version of pride that's causing me to get out of love, joy, peace. And so I've written down here, be aware of pride, okay? And then I've got breathe. Breathe in, breathe out. And I just remind myself to just breathe and get in. And then I go into my day, okay? As you go through your day and you're trying to abide, one of the biggest things that can trip us up is the noise that's all around us, okay? It used to be TV, but now it's social media, and there's so much noise. You really gotta try to eliminate the noise. You can't be peaceful if you're posting stuff on Facebook and then constantly checking to see what people say about you, okay? That's not peace. That's focusing on horizontal things of this world and not centering on Jesus. It's simply not a smart way for a Christian to live. It leads to anxiety. It leads to worry. It leads to things that don't give you love, joy, peace. You'll say, but I have to know what's going on. Listen, you'll hear about the big stuff, okay? When Trump got shot a couple weeks ago, recording this just like 10 days after that, when Trump got shot, I was actually preaching to 125 recovering addicts at a ministry that I give to. He invited me to do the devotional. And right before I started speaking, he got on to everyone to turn off their phones, which ended up being really a blessing, because as soon as Trump got shot, everything blew up on the internet and phones and everything else. If their phones had been on, it would have been all sorts of distracting. Instead, I was able to share a message that was very well received. When I went to my car where my phone was blowing up, man. There were 3 calls from my son. I'm in a text thing with my mom and my sister, and I saw a text, did Trump get shot? And all of a sudden I call my son and I find out the news. Okay. You're going to hear about the big stuff. Even if you don't have your phone on, you're going to ultimately hear about the big stuff. And so you don't need to be obsessively worried about all this stuff. There's one person who's in control of all of it. God. God knows who the next president's going to be. God knows how it's going to turn out. Okay, turn all of that anxiety, that angst, and that worry over to the Lord. You got to release. You got to let go and let God. People say it. They never do it. He's in control. The key to abiding is trust. We have to trust that God is in control and that he can handle it, because he really can. And trust leads us to the next piece of this, which is obey. Okay, so abide, you start your day, you're vibing, you go through your day, you try to eliminate the noise, you're breathing in, you're breathing out, you love, joy, peace. If you get out of that, you take it to the Lord, you try to figure out, you know, so that you can do better the next day. You're not going to nail it from day one. But to abide, we must obey. Remember in verse 15:10, he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. The key to abiding is obeying. We've got to obey. Now, this is not a legalistic obedience of the Ten Commandments, okay? Jesus said, Love God, love others. If you're loving God and loving others, you will be doing the Ten Commandments without being legalistic about it and without being becoming a Pharisee where you're all pride about it. But it's not a legalistic obedience to that. It's about obeying his voice, okay? After you get centered yourself in the morning, you go down and pray. I actually get on my knees. I like to be on my knees with my knees on the ground, my head and my arms, you know, on the bottom of the chair there, the cushion of the chair. And I'm just on my knees before the Lord. That's my favorite place to pray. Sometimes, you know, I might be looking out on the lake and, you know, I may pray while I'm there because I'm just in a great place. But my favorite place is to get down on my knees. You want to stay in that spirit, keep breathing, stay in that spirit of abiding and start with thanking him. Thankfulness toward God draws you into the presence of God. Thankfulness towards God draws you into the presence of God. You can't be thanking him constantly and not begin to feel his presence, okay? So, and then you stay still and you listen. Don't do all the talking. You listen, okay? And you simply do what he says. Last week, we had a really busy week in my work, okay? And he'll give you specific things to do in your work, in your relationships, in whatever, he'll give you things to do. And so all you have to do is do whatever he tells you to do. It's really easy. It really becomes easy. So last week was a crazy busy week at work. My office is very much, usually we're on top of things. And so there's a lot of conversation and it's not hectic. It's pretty calm and peaceful now for the most part. But last week we were slammed. And so no one was talking to anyone. And so I know that Mary in my office and Scott, they do like to converse and we just didn't have time for any of that. But one morning I was on my knees and God shared with me that I needed to just call a meeting in the office, bring them into my conference room and just let them each talk for 10 minutes and just share whatever it is that's on their hearts. And so I did that just so they can get their communication out, you know? And that's not something I would have thought of. That's something God did. Okay. But he'll give you directions like that. And then I always wrap my prayer with prayer requests because, you know, I do have requests that people have asked for, you know, for me to pray for, et cetera. And I just write them down and then I pray. You want to keep your mind and your heart open to correction or guidance, and not just in that morning time, but then all day long, okay? God can give you insights and tell you to do things wherever you are, okay? One day last week, you know, after work sometimes, I'll go into my hot tub, get a cigar, a scotch, and I just sit there and vibe with the Lord, okay? Believe it or not, God loves me just as much when I'm there as he does when I'm preaching to 125 addicts. He loves me just the same. He's not more proud of me at one place than the other. I'm vibing with him. I'm enjoying the beauty of his nature. It's the sky, and I'm enjoying it. And then, man, he shared with me something that I had to do, and I didn't want to do it. He told me I had to write a letter thanking my ex-wife's husband for being a good stepfather to my kids, okay? Now, this is the guy that she left me for, and I just don't like him. I mean, you know, I just don't like him. But that doesn't mean I can't act lovingly towards him, and ultimately, I just need to obey Christ. And so last night, I wrote that letter up, and I'll be giving it to him this week, telling him about how thankful I am and what a good job he's done, et cetera, because he has done a good job as a stepfather to my kids. So did I want to do it? No, but we do it anyway, okay? And we are to act loving even to people that we may not like, okay? At the end of the day, that was God telling me to do something, so I just have to do it. And that's all we need to do, okay? There may be some days where he doesn't give you any direction. You're in, and this happens quite a bit where he's, you know, in the morning in your quiet time, you don't get any sense of direction. No worries. Just go ahead and do what you meant to do the rest of that day. Go to work, do your normal stuff, and just be in the spirit and be ready for God to tell you something, okay? Now, a word of caution about obedience to that small, still voice. You got to make sure it's the right voice, okay? The devil has access to the spiritual world. and he's a deceiver and he's a whisperer. Okay. The litmus test of whether you're hearing from God or whether you're hearing from the devil is, does it line up with scripture, and is it loving? The devil can tell you something that lines up with scripture and then have you take it and use it in anger to beat up somebody. Okay. That's not loving. Okay. It's gotta be both. It's gotta line up with scripture and it's gotta be loving. All right. When he told me to write that letter to my ex-wife's husband, you know, that's something I didn't want to do, but was that affirming? Was that scriptural? Yeah. The Bible tells us to be affirming, to be loving, to love those that hate us or that we don't like. Okay. And it's loving. So that's clearly something God told me to do. Okay. However, if you're on your knees and someone pops into your mind and you know they're doing something wrong and you think like, man, I got to use this verse and I got to really hammer him and or her and get in their grill about this thing, it's probably not God telling you to yell at them, okay? It may very well be the devil, because here's the thing, you can't fix anybody, okay? Only God can fix them. All right. And if God wants you to be the one who enlightens them, God's going to bring the opportunity to you. So just if you see it, you may be absolutely right. That person may be doing something that's wrong in their life. OK, God's going to. But that doesn't mean it's your job to fix it. OK, be ready if God chooses to use you to fix it. And then when he does, you'll have an opportunity to share the truth and love. That's living more godly rather than trying to browbeat everyone into submission, okay? So yelling is not loving, okay? And you may be absolutely right, but it doesn't matter. If you're sharing it in an unloving way, it's probably not from God. So if it's scripture and it's loving, it's God. If it's not scripture and it's not loving, it's probably the devil, okay? So you wake up, you get into your abiding, you pray, you obey whatever he says. If he gives you nothing, that happens. Just continue with what you had planned, abiding, trusting, and staying open to further commands. And the greatest command is love, okay? Love God, love others. If we conquer the whole world, but we do not have love, all right, we have nothing, okay? Love God is spending time with him. It's abiding. That when what we're talking about here, abiding, that's loving on God. This blew me away. I came across this, and I forget who shared this with me, but it was super neat. You know, Jesus compares the marriage to, he compares himself and the church to a husband and a groom. He's the husband, a husband and a bride, I mean. He's the husband and we're the bride, us Christians, okay? And the Song of Solomon is a love song between, or a love poem between the husband and the wife, okay? If you take that and the passages where it's the husband speaking, imagine that's God speaking, and the passages where it's the wife speaking, imagine it's the wife speaking, a whole crazy thing opens up, okay? It actually says in there that the husband gets joy. God gets joy just from our love. He gets ecstasy just from our love. Just by loving on God, we can give him ecstasy. We can give him joy, okay? We can give back to him just a smattering of what he's given to us, and it enraptures his heart when we spend time with him, okay? That's abiding. It's vibing. It's the easy rhythms of grace. That's loving on God. And then loving on others. If we're to obey Christ, we must love, okay? John 15:17, what we ended with was, these things I command you, that you love one another, okay? When something happens wrong to us, we respond with love, joy, peace, instead of react, okay? And that takes practice. That takes doing this day in and day out and getting better, okay? Don't instantaneously make judgment calls about somebody because of something you heard them say or whatever, because that's not loving, okay? Don't try to fix everybody you see. Again, it's not your job to fix, okay? If God wants you to fix someone, he will bring an opportunity by which you can share your truth. But don't be judging, don't be fixing, just listen, okay? Most people don't want to be fixed. They just want to share their little blip. They just want to share what they think, and then go on their way. They don't really want to be fixed. So you're wasting your time trying to fix people who don't want to be fixed. Okay. We don't, why waste our time with that? Okay. Just listen. But when someone comes and asks for help, help everyone who asks. Okay. So I've got it written down in my thing. Don't judge, don't fix, just listen, help all who ask. Okay. Let God draw them. Let him use you where he sees fit, because he's the boss. And you've got to trust that he knows where he wants you, okay? Imagine, he's got a plan for you, and it's this amazing plan, and he knows exactly what things you need to do to maximize that plan. You don't. So if you can just abide with him and then just do what he tells you to do, you will get into a place where you're at maximum fruitfulness. He says it, without him, we can do nothing. But if we abide with him, we will have maximum fruitfulness, okay? Release, relax, and embrace that love, joy, peace. Does that mean that you're never going to have trouble? Absolutely not. You know, in this world, we will have trouble. Jesus promises us that. But he also says that he's overcome the world. And by abiding in him, Jesus is in us. We can overcome those things. We can respond to these negative things with love instead of anger, and with joy. Joy is actually a choice, okay? Happiness is circumstantial. Everything just has to be right, and then you can be happy. Joy is a choice. Paul and Peter were thrown in prison, okay? Peter's in there with prison, and they're singing praise songs. And I imagine Roman prisons are pretty dismal places, or they were back in the day. They were probably dungeon-type dunginess, okay? Just horrible places. We sit here in amongst, you know, our air-conditioned houses and listening to our unbelievable streaming music and everything else, and we still get all anxious and angry and whatever. That's insane. Joy's a choice, man. If you can't be happy now, when are you going to be happy, okay? Joy is a choice. You can choose to be joyful even in the midst of horrible things, because Romans 8:28 is true, because God will work all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his word. Okay, so you're not in control. Let's wrap this thing. You're not in control. You don't have to worry about your future. He's got this. You don't have to apologize for your past. He's made you clean. Remember, he says it right there. You're already clean because of the word that I've spoken. What he did on the cross cleaned us up. You don't have to apologize for your past, try to compensate for things that you've done wrong in the past. That's all washed away. And you don't have to try to worry about your future. It's all taken care of. God knows exactly where he wants to do. All you got to do is wake up, abide with him, obey whatever he tells you to do today, and just love on people. That's all you got to do. And you'll be living in love, joy, peace most of the day. Abide, obey, love. It's that simple. It's the easy yoke. God bless. Thank you.